Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We recorded this episode of Life Behind Bars several weeks ago before the outbreak of the coronavirus in the United States, and we offer it as a testament to our love for New Orleans, and we hope and pray that the citizens of Louisiana are safe. We can't wait to be back in NOLA eating and drinking with all of our dear friends.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast half full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Weingarten. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I am excited for this episode. Talking about some of our favorite drinks in the whole world.
Well, some of the drinks that I have remembered least of all the drinks
right.
I've had.
All right, that's a good point. Well, in December, a cocktail legend, passed away named Earl Barnhart, who, to be honest, I didn't really know that much about him, which is sort of sad, but mm-hmm. I had definitely experienced a lot of his creations and, experienced sort of the world that he created down in New Orleans.
Well, he certainly shaped a part of New Orleans drinking culture decisively and changed the look of the city.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to mince words here. I mean, he's not, there are a lot of, cocktail legends in New Orleans who created, the Sazerac and the Vucaray and the Ramos Gin Fizz.
He's not one of them.
Nope. No, that's not what this episode's about.
However, I was walking down Bourbon Street on New Year's Day this year, and you saw the Earl Barnhart's mark in all the gutters.
Absolutely.
Being swept up by massive mechanical sweepers.
And his creations, most notably the hand grenade, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But
should we mention the shark attack?
And the shark attack, which we'll also get to, which is maybe his most dramatic drink. Arguably more famous than a lot of those other classic New Orleans cocktails. Oh, yeah. I mean, at least today.
Far more people go to New Orleans to drink hand grenades than go there to drink Sazeracs.
And for those who have not been to New Orleans, basically, Earl Barnhart is one of the people responsible for Bourbon Street. Whether or not you've been there, you definitely know what it looks like.
For its modern
He didn't build the street, but he created
He created modern Bourbon Street.
He created the party atmosphere that is known as Bourbon Street. And if you go basically at any hour of the day from sun up to sundown, you'll see people with giant plastic glasses that look like hand grenades.
Well, it's a hand grenade with a huge stem on top of it. It looks really hard to throw.
Right. I'm not sure how people finish them, but you're right. If you walk down Bourbon Street in the morning after the party has finally subsided, the gutters, ginormous piles of these
plastic hand grenade cups.
All over, right?
All over. And not just them. They're all their imitators.
Oh, yeah.
There's the huge-ass beer that looks like a human torso with large buttocks that they pour beer into.
All I can say is a lot of very, very creative cups that are sold. I guess they're supposed to be kept, the souvenir cups. I imagine some of them make their way back home to across America, most of them seem that maybe the drinks are so powerful that people.
I mean,
just drop
I imagine
them.
People I staggering around their garage in Topeka, with their friends all holding hand grenades.
Oh, I hope.
And flashing their chests and throwing beads into the neighbor's yard. Right.
in cupboards, cupboards next to the Tupperware the casserole dishes is a giant. Giant plastic, green cup that maybe has a giant phallus on it or a butt or, looks like a hand grenade. All things.
I just imagine those parties.
they don't seem out of character in New Orleans, but when you bring it home, it looks a little
weird. Yeah.
I really learned a lot about Earl from Wayne Curtis, our fellow Half Full Daily Beast columnist, who wrote the book on rum called "And the Bottle of Rum," and really is an expert. So we were able to get Wayne to call in from New Orleans. We're better to talk about hand grenades and Bourbon Street. So let's
do that.
Let's call up Wayne right now. Hello, Wayne. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Dave.
You are down in New Orleans.
Is that how they say it?
Is it? How do you say it?
We're in New York now.
New Orleans.
Okay.
New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah. Yes.
Okay. This was a short call. Thank you for calling in, Wayne. We'll talk to you later.
I have a quick question for you. Are you on Bourbon Street right now?
Are you calling in from one of your favorite bars?
Are you at the Tropical Isle?
I wish I were at the Tropical Isle. It's a rainy day and it's getting cooler. Last night was warm and wonderful and there was a great parade. I plan to be on Bourbon Street by later this afternoon.
All right.
You actually met Earl in New Orleans. I never did, and I don't think Dave did either.
No.
And maybe you could talk a little bit about him and how he got started. And
I think it's like the argument I made in the story that I think there was an Earl Bernhardt era on Bourbon Street, and it ended last December when he died at the age of 80. But he arrived on Bourbon Street in 1984. He was a radio reporter for a while. He covered civil rights movement in the South. He's from Mississippi. Then he was got a partial interest in a radio station in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and he spun country and western tunes for a while as a DJ. But then in the early 80s, when Reagan started deregulating broadcasting, and then everyone started losing their very lucrative monopolies in their areas, he saw the handwriting on the wall and thought he should do something else. And that's when a friend came by and said, "Hey, they're starting a World's Fair down in New Orleans in 1984. We should apply for a stand down there and sell something." And so they did, and they opened up something called the Tropical Paradise. And they had an octagonal beach hut style drink stand, and it was fortuitously located under the monorail station, which at the time was very cool, and people waited for an hour to go on the monorail and 90-degree heat. And here was a guy who had drinks that were made with ice cream and liquor blended up. He had eight – it was an octagonal beach hut, and he had eight stations, each with a blender, and he didn't hire bartenders. He called them spinners. They made up these tropical drinks and sold them by the the gallon.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
People waiting to get on the monorail.
What happened to the monorail?
Good question. The 1984 World's Fair is famous in the annals of World's Fair for being the only one, I believe, that went bankrupt while it was still open.
Oh, my God. All the money went to Earl, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Earl did not go bankrupt.
No.
Earl did just fine. Now, one of the people he hired was a woman named Pam Fortner. It was a young woman who was hired as a spinner, and she was enterprising and good at what she did. And afterwards, Earl recruited her to come open up a tropical drinks place on just off Bourbon Street originally on Toulouse. And Pam said she would do it, but she needed to be made partner, and she was. And they stayed partners right through, and she's found the sole remaining partner at the tropical.
They sound like really smart people.
They were. Super smart.
Yeah.
Super smart. And they were sort of at the right place at the right time, but then they also shaped the time to fit what they wanted to do. They were starting to do these tropical drinks, and I wouldn't call these tiki drinks. These were just, fairly sweet, straight up concoctions. But they appeared as Jimmy Buffett was taking off, and they were more associated with Jimmy Buffett than with Mark Denny or any of the other icons. So they established, 1984, they started just about half a block off Bourbon Street.
Well, Bourbon Street at the time was kind of needed something because I know from digging into the history of the old Absinthe House that in the 70s, Bourbon Street was hurting. I mean, it was they were making all kinds of prostitution arrests. The head bartender at the old Absinthe House went away for dealing heroin in large quantities.
It happens.
Hey, it's New Orleans. I mean,
No, Bourbon Street was, that was at a moment of major transition. Obviously, yeah. The street, it's been around for 300 years, and it goes through a lot of changes. But one of the major changes started in the late 60s and happened through the 70s. And prior to the 60s, from World War II until then, it was sort of a classic street of nightclubs where you would go into a place, you'd pay your cover, you'd check your coat, a cigarette, you know, woman would come by and sell you something to smoke while you watched a band play or a burlesque or whatever it was. And then when you were done, you went back out on the street. And that sort of fell out of favor in the 60s. You know, we had Easy Rider era and everything. Right. So things changed.
But even people thought that was already tacky, because I've got a remarkable poem from the late 40s talking about how, you know, Bourbon Street is this sort of demon succubus that's destroying the culture of New Orleans sucking people down into degeneracy. And it goes on and on for page after page of rant in verse. It's very amusing. But you can see that
– we're not going to read it today.
No. It's not I'll save it for a column.
Perfect.
There's one remaining place like that. Chris Owens nightclub is sort of vestige of that era of that. But it's what happened. It's Garrison, the prosecutor, the DA, famous for going after Lee Harvey Oswald after the Kennedy assassination and his conspiracy theories. But he, in the late 60s, encouraged the city to pass rules that required all the nightclubs to keep their doors open during business hours that the cops could walk down the street and peek in and see if there's any drug dealing or cat selling going on. And at the same time, the hippies were descended on, you know, Grateful Dead, busted down on Bourbon Street and as they say. And so people in the club started realizing the show was actually not on the stage, but on the street behind them. So chairs swiveled around, and shortly after, I think it was in 69, that the Go Cup legislation passed, allowed bars to sell. So they would take one of their doors and convert it to a, you know, place to sell out on the street. So that was the context of Bourbon Street. It switched around and it had become an outdoor drinking mall.
And it's
through the 70s, but it was still having trouble.
And still to this day, I mean, New Orleans is one of the few places in America where you can get a to-go cup at a bar where you pour your glass or beer or whatever you're drinking into a plastic cup, and you're allowed to stroll along the streets sipping enjoyment. And that's totally fine and legal.
No, it's fine and legal, and no closing hours on the bars. And you talk to people that come in.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, here's the thing. You talk to people that come in from the Northeast or the Midwest, you know, good, solid, rock rib, Christian-informed areas, and they're like, appalled by the concept. But my sense is that this is much more sensible and leads to a much more relaxed environment. I lived in Portland, Maine for 20 years, and it was the worst place to be was to be walking through downtown around 1 o'clock when the bars all closed.
Right.
Because everybody just spilled out at the same time. Everyone ordered two drinks at 12:45 and then decided to go out in the streets and fight. And if you had a group of people going from bar to bar, it was always the fastest drinker that set the pace. The slower drinkers would have to knock back their drinks at the end to get to the next place.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lotto. Yeah.
And so now you don't have to. The fastest drinker doesn't set the pace. If you go to the bar's got a stack of Go Cups and you pour it in and you take it to the next place.
I've never seen anybody blotto in New Orleans.
No, me either. Or fighting.
Never seen any fights.
Nothing.
That's what happens if you get people in the inexperienced
community. Blame the New Yorkers. I see where this is going. Yeah.
Nobody from New Orleans has ever been.
No. It's all the New Yorkers.
Probably best known for being the co-inventor, he and Pam, of the hand grenade.
And that was like
– now it's really defines.
That was kind of like a happy accident, right? I mean, them discovering that cup.
It was. Well, yes and no. The no part was that they would look up the street from where they were and see everyone on Bourbon Street with hurricanes. Brian's a block away.
Just still open. Still going strong.
We got to get in. It's still going strong, but around since 1934.
And they're famous for both the drink and also the hurricane glass that you get to keep.
Yeah.
I think it's whatever it is. You get to keep the glass and take it home with you.
You get to keep the glass for a nominal charge. built into the drink price. You can return the glass and get your money back for it, but everyone's charged for the glass. It was easier than...
Huh? Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I didn't realize that you could return the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, I think I'll return the one I have.
Well, is there like an end date on that offer? Is there a number of years, decades? So
the not accident part was they wanted to create something that was, I guess, in 1980s terms, would have been considered viral today.
Right.
Yeah.
So they had a drink called the Tropical Itch, which is sort of a more standard tiki drink, and they would go to one of these Mardi Gras supply stores and buy these 8-inch back scratchers they'd use as stirrups that you get to take with you. And while they were walking through, Pam passed a bin of little hand grenades and picked up and said, I think we could be able to do something with this. We can make a drink with this. They bought some and came up with a drink to go with a little plastic toy.
And they still sell the little tiny ones, right? That's probably the same thing.
Yeah, but at some point along the line, they developed a trademark glass.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, 18 inches high, lurid green. You can see it from a half a block away. So
I remember one of the first Tales of the Cocktail when they had awards, industry awards, and everybody up on stage. And Simon Ford, the legendary person who traveled around, Bon Vivant, who traveled around the country promoting Plymouth Gin, and a couple other people and I went to the Tropical Isle and bought hand grenades, and then we each took one sip and found them, really maybe not geared directly to our palates. So we dumped them out in the gutter, and before the awards, we rinsed them out and had them filled with Pernod and water, which looks just like the hand grenade.
Oh my God!
And as they called us up on stage to present awards, we carried our hand grenades with us.
Unbelievable!
Just to anger the powers that be there, and just to kind of poke at them a little bit. But it was very amusing.
I kind of love the idea though that like. You'd walk down Bourbon Street and everybody would be carrying back scratchers, and that the gutters would be full of back scratchers like in the morning. Like, where did all these back scratchers come from?
I don't know, but you know, there's a lot of backs that are now scratched.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've yet in the wild to see a back scratcher on the street in the mornings, but I don't guess those aren't.
Do they still sell that? I don't know if they do or not.
I think so.
But
you definitely see hand grenades up and down the street.
I mean, Bourbon Street launched a lot of in that period. It also launched Jägermeister, it turns out.
It did.
Which was available in America, but nobody really drank it until the guy who owned Fritzl's Jazz Bar, and I'm Gunter, I can't remember his last name right now, started carrying it, and people started drinking it there, and they got the rumor started from the people who were drinking Jägermeister at Fritzl's that it was kind of like liquid Quaaludes or liquid Valium.
It took off with Tulane, LSU.
And then it spread, throughout
Baton Rouge Advocate and stuff. Yeah, a big story. Yeah,
but it all started at this Bourbon Street bar that had 1920 style jazz, and still does. It's a great bar.
Yeah,
but
a great bar. It was run by a German immigrant.
Yeah,
so often happens. Showed up in New Orleans and stayed and opened a bar. And I guess the story I'd heard that it was like German seamen who would come into the port would bring it.
It was the most popular liqueur in Germany, so he knew it.
For the hand grenade, I mean, did Earl ever publish his recipe for it? Like, or is it just sort of?
Well, it's got melon in it.
It's got something. I mean, it's got alcohol in it.
I actually, once I was walking down Bourbon Street and there's a pile of boxes that were being thrown out. And I stopped and looked at it, and it was hand grenade mix, and it had all the ingredients printed on it.
Wow.
And none of which were less than about 6 syllables. And
right.
Yeah.
It was pretty much unidentifiable. They had a mix made up for it. I did take a picture of it just for documentation purposes. But
And then I guess it's,
originally I think it was vodka and Midori and some citrus. I think it's pretty decent.
It could even have been Everclear and Midori also.
It could have been. I did have Chris Hanna. We did a couple of seminars involving hand grenades and had Chris Hanna reverse engineer one. But of course, you can't call it the hand grenade.
No.
We had an issue with that, too, because Earl and Pam were shrewd enough to trademark the name.
Could you call it the landmine?
You can call it I interviewed Earl, and he said, I don't care what you call it. You can call it the bomb. You can call it the landmine. Just don't call it a hand grenade. You can exactly duplicate the flavor. I don't care. But you just can't call it a hand grenade.
Fair enough.
At that time, there was a writer for the Times-Picayune interviewed me about it. I gave her the recipe that we'd come up with. I said, just don't publish it as the hand grenade because you will get sued.
Mm-hmm.
And got published as the hand grenade. Came out the next morning, and I got a call at like 8:30 from Pam Fortner going, what's this?
Oh my God.
I don't know. So I called up and I said, you have to issue a correction now. You have to change it to the bomb. And they did. But it was in print.
The bomb.
A little bit touch ago. But Earl offered a standing $250 bounty for anyone who reported hand grenades being sold in any other city in America.
It's amazing.
A lawyer sent cease and desist letters, and they
you got to defend your trademark.
Cease and desist.
Yeah. Well, they also created not just the hand grenade, but also a Jaws themed cocktail, which I think is pretty ingenious.
They never claimed to have created
that. All right, but popularized it.
They stole it.
They stole it fair and square.
They stole it and popularized it.
They stole it fair and square. They made it much better.
Yeah.
It was a
on Bourbon Street, this idea of creation, it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
create that.
Yeah, the shark attack is – I mean, first of all, I just like the fact that we've got hurricanes, hand grenades, shark attacks on Bourbon Street. All the drinks will kill you.
Yeah.
They are all fatal things.
And also kind of that New Orleans dark humor, like, you know, the things, the worst parts about, you know, the world, you know, we're going to name drinks after them.
Yeah. Now, the shark attack is not an awesome drink to actually drink, but the order is beyond awesome. It's all theater. Brett Martin tells the story of how he's a writer for GQ, does a lot of their restaurant coverage, moved down here about 10 years ago. And he was over across the way at Molly's on Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody walked in cranky and grumpy and threw down a piece of paper on the bar. So I can't believe we have to deal with this crap. And it was a memo from Earl to his bar staff, complaining that the people who were serving the drinks, and the drinks is a whole process to serve it, but they were not swimming the sharks menacingly enough towards the drinks. They were not sticking to the script, which is everybody out of the water, everybody out of the water, a shark attack is about to occur. And this is said by the bartender while blowing whistles, ringing bells, and often the band on stage will kick into the Jaws theme song for that.
Oh my God.
You get a bluish drink, tall bluish drink, mm-hmm. and then the bartender will swim a shark, which is about 8 inches long, a plastic hollow shark, and if they're doing it right, it's being done menacingly, and then it plunges into the drink, and of course the shark has been filled with grenadine, so you get this big red slick that floats up to the surface, and then I slide it over to you.
I mean, if you're tending bar at the Tropical Isle and you're not doing that stuff, what exactly are you there for?
You got to bring it. You got to really bring it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point.
You'd be surprised. There's so many that are just like, they're just dialing it in.
That is not okay.
Where is the menace? Where is the menace?
Man.
But I've had some amazing ones there too. And of course, all the drinks are the same. It's just the presentation that varies.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the next time we're all in New Orleans, we should have a shark attack. And I thought maybe we'll order one for somebody else. Maybe
we'll get a designated drinker.
And we'll order beers.
I went in with a group of 12 a few weeks ago, and they're like, okay, we'll all order a shark attack. I was like, no, get two.
Two. That's all you need. Two of them.
Yeah.
For the show, and then you sip them and you go outside.
Yeah.
And how many bars did Earl ultimately have?
Three tropical isles on Bourbon Street. He also has a restaurant down the block. And I can't remember the name of the other one. And then he just opened a, shortly before he died, he opened a honky tonk.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, Bourbon Street, it's sort of been fixed in the 1980s. I mean, a lot of the bouncers still have bullets. Yeah. The music is sure. 1980s. And so the honky tonk was sort of a...
That's why you moved there. That's your, because you love it.
You're an 80s guy.
You're an 80s guy. That's what we always say. Wayne, he's an 80s guy.
You've seen my mullet.
Yeah. And I see you in your Steve Martin suit and playing the banjo on the streets of New Orleans.
Or like you're always cutting off the sleeves of your t-shirts. Yeah. American flag hanging out of the back pocket. No?
That's me. You've seen me.
Singing Born in the State of Maine.
I do like walking down Bourbon Street. It's like a challenge every time. Let's see if I can make it the blocks from St. Anne to Canal Street without hearing either Sweet Home Alabama or Mustang Sally.
That's tough.
The Hurricane and then the Hand Grenade, still the kings of Bourbon Street, those two drinks. I mean, is there anything else that even comes close at this point?
The Huge Ass Beer.
Yeah, we talked about that before we had you
which is just a giant, giant cup of beer.
32 ounces.
There's also the plastic buttocks that sometimes it comes in.
Yes, those are the small. I think those are the big butt beer.
Yeah. Please, Dave, don't confuse the issue here.
The guy who owns the Huge Ass Beer went after somebody who opened a giant ass beer.
Oh my God! Only in New Orleans.
They cease and desist.
I mean, now you need the Yo Mama's Ass beers.
Oh my God! When will this end? Oh my God! Wow.
So that's the other famous drink, and then there's a lot of people seem to be trying to go after the novelty drink. There's the one in a basically a goldfish bowl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen those. Yeah. I've seen those. Dave's usually you like those.
I've usually got a straw in my face and then in the bowl.
Yeah.
I was saying before we had you on that on New Year's Day, my wife and I walked the length of Bourbon Street.
You've just gotten out of Tropical Isle.
Yeah. Right? Well, of course, we spent the whole night there. And, you know, I've never fought off so many sharks.
Oh, my God. Could you, for a column, one of you or maybe me will spend like all night there, like from –
Oh my God.
From 9 p.m. to like 7 a.m. would make an amazing story. Just saying,
I think we should all do it.
I'm happy to see this to either of you.
I think it needs team coverage.
Oh my God. Yeah, we'll team with 9 to midnight, midnight to 3, 3 to 7.
There we go.
Oh my God.
This past summer when I was here for the month of August, because it's too – I like to take a walk every day, but it's too hot because you will just die. So I get up at – a lot of times I get up at 5, 6 in the morning and go out when it was still reasonable. And I started walking every day down Bourbon Street because I was fascinated by the cleaning crew.
The cleaning crew is amazing. That's what we were marveling at. I took films of them.
Mountains of hand grenades. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, you're knee deep in stuff.
I mean, it looks like the freaking
on the street.
It looks like the freaking Battle of Stalingrad, except the defense contractors missed an important component, and none of the grenades went off.
Unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Well, tonight when you're on Bourbon Street, please have a hand grenade for Dave and I and toast Earl. And
buy Chris Hanna a shark attack.
Please, our legendary New Orleans bartender. I hope you and Chris will have a hand grenade and a shark attack and toast Earl and all that he contributed to this amazing, crazy world that we know as Bourbon Street today.
Will do, and everyone needs to come down and have a hand grenade and a shark attack and a hurricane.
Absolutely.
All right.
That
is all. It's a deal.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see you in New Orleans soon.
See you in New Orleans.
Over hurricanes. Hand grenades, and then a shark attack, all in a row, and then followed by a big ass beer.
Yeah.
And then we'll be in the gutter. Woken up by the cleaning crew after that.
Yep.
Yeah. See you when you get here.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Dave and I encourage you to drink responsibly always.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.